Welcome to a place of rods, reels, line, and fish. You're about to enter the fishing zone. Just fooling you. It's just us. Yep. Fishing Frank here in chair. Got Robert in a chair across from me. Got Captain Carl. He's in the guest spot. He's a good fishing captain. He's really. And Robert, he's one pretty smart fella. Yes, he is. I don't know where all this is going. But hey, it's Fishing Frank, and we're all here good, ready for the fishing report. Because I got to tell you, we've got issues to figure out here today. Because we have the person with the pickle problem that was previously presented here on Radio Fishing, and now he's got the cluster problem. There is a correlation, a congregation of clusters happening on Carl's vessel that is, I think this needs to be addressed. Carl, you went from a pickle problem with a predicament with pickles on the boat to a cluster. So what happened?
I guess I kind of wish it was the pickle problem again, but I mean, I had one of my real good regulars out the other day, and it was just me and him, and we were out on a school of fish, so I got the bright idea just to launch, you know, several baits out there with several rods. And, you know, we're catching fish, not getting tangled up, and then there was that one time where all of a sudden, yeah, that's what it was. It was chaos. No.
Robert, you and I both heard this story, and I'm sorry, you know, if you could see me right now, I'm moving my fingers like I'm working the tiniest violin in the world. You like some bread and cheese with that wine? You've got what, 40 some inch snook on four rods, you got four fish hooked up, and the fish are going everywhere. They're oversized redfish, some well oversized snook in the 40 inch range. All four lines are off, the rods going everywhere, fish going everywhere, lines getting tangled, and you're complaining you got four monster fish on at the same time.
It was
can everybody out there go,
I called another captain over because, you know, the fish were going off, so I called him over, and I'm sure his whole boat got a very good comedy out of it, because I mean, I was running to the front, running to the back. We reeled one fish in, we got him on the boat, then I started snipping lines, and then
you had to cut one line and splice it to another rod.
Yeah, because we were trying to reel the snook in, and we couldn't reel it past a certain point because the other line got so knotted up. So I was like, all right, flip the bail. And he flipped the bail. The next thing you know, the fish thought he got off or something, you know, because there was no tension. So I snipped a line and did a real quick double uni, spliced it to another rod. He started fighting it. We had everything out the way.
Now, how big was that fish?
Oh, man.
50-inch snook?
I tell you the truth, I'm not sure, but we landed a 17-pound snook that same day, and it made that one look like a baby.
Wow.
It was big. He broke off 2 feet from the boat. He wore through the leader. Oh, it was a nightmare. I mean, it was fun. I wish it was on video, because I would just love to watch it and laugh, but it was chaotic.
I would like to see it, you know. Oh.
All four rods are tangled. And there was just two of them. It was just not. It was interesting. Let's put it that way.
Okay. So anyway, Carl's having problems. He's catching too many big fish all at once.
Yeah.
So I think we can all say, "Oh, poor Carl." Okay. Which I guess anything in your world, Robert?
Not that exciting. Not at all.
No.
No. But my dock is officially 95% complete, but it's 100% deck walkable.
Okay, so your dock, you got a new deck on there, that lumber from Tibbetts.
Yep.
Tibbetts lumber.
So I'll be able to, now I'm fishing in 100% safety.
100% safety?
Yeah. without lanyarding myself to the dock. Yeah, pretty much.
You know, well, you were just worried about falling through the dock.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I Americans are a breed all amongst themselves. I mean, we have some amazing traditions, like some of us older guys, we grew up with the phrasing, like, we'd rather die on our feet than live on our knees. Yeah. And, but some of them do some pretty strange stuff. I was watching guys thinking about buying a house on the canal where I live, and this dock was decrepit. I mean, it was barely hanging together. So they both of them walk out there, this guy and his buddy, and they kind of tapped their foot a little bit, getting out on it. And that held. So they walked out on it. Then they started jumping up and down on it just to see if it was going to hold. Now, yeah. Mind you, one of the only really dangerous thing I know of about Port Charlotte, Charlotte Harbor, Punta Gorda, the canals, Cape Coral, and all that, is if you fall in the water in a canal, you're out of luck. Because yeah. There's no way to get out of a canal. Nobody puts ladders on their docks. There's no way to get up. Once you fall in the water, you got to get somebody to help you get back up if you got like a low tide or something.
Yeah.
In many of the canals, there's literally no way to get out of the water. And I'm sitting there watching them guys jumping up and down on that old decrepit dock. It held. They didn't go in the water. I was grabbing wildly for my iPhone so I could get the video in case they were...
everybody watch this.
That was a, hold my beer, watch this, Bubba.
Yeah.
And they were two business people from up north by the looks of them. You know, they had the business people clothes on.
Well, that's the way the dock was a couple years ago, but you hooked up with the good pilings on it, and then it was time to replace the deck. So now it's complete.
Yeah, there's a few times where the whole Fish and Frank thing works out pretty good.
Yes, it does.
All right. Getting to the place-by-place fishing report here. And what's going on up on the Peace River?
Basically, I'm hearing of quite a few small snook. This whole week has warmed up so much that the activity as a whole has gotten really impressive. A lot of gar rolling around up there, especially from like the Navigator all the way up past the water treatment plant. And then the Shell Creek area, I'm hearing of some small snook, a few mangrove snapper, a lot of gar. Other than that, I haven't heard of the jacks like I was a week ago. I don't know about you, Carl. You hearing much up there?
I haven't heard of the jacks lately, but I've been hearing...
They were behind my house this morning, big time.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Just, I'd say for about 6 to 10 minutes, it sounded like there was a dozen kids down there throwing rocks in the canal.
Nice.
Big rocks, like coconut-sized rocks.
There's been some big snook over in Shell Creek area. I got a buddy that's been throwing artificials, and early in the morning he's been putting a hurting on some good snook.
What's he throwing artificial wise?
He's throwing those big storm paddle tails. He's throwing also the flukes.
Okay, 5-inch, 6-inch.
The 6-inch. And the white.
Yeah, that was white flukes in general have been working really, really well for a lot of people everywhere.
But he's getting some pretty good snook over there.
Okay, and moving our way up to I-75. Anything going on there?
Oh, I forgot about the tarpon at the trestle.
Oh, okay. All right, let me get back up to that.
That's the first report I've heard of tarpon, period.
Yeah.
I was just talking to Austin about that out there because he went looking this morning.
Is it up at Fort Ogden or Sanssouci?
Sanssouci. Seems to be on incoming tide.
Are they hooking them at all or just seeing a lot of them?
A lot of them rolling.
There you go. Any size?
60, up to 60.
I'm sure pounds. There's several sizes.
Yeah.
The other day I couldn't get to them.
Yeah. Couldn't help that one.
No, that was good. I deserve that.
The other day I seen them, but I couldn't get to them. My T-top wouldn't make it underneath the bridge, and they were all on the other side.
They're on the opposite side of the bridge, yep.
Yep. I couldn't. I was like, gosh darn it.
And Kale, he sits there and dumps 5 gallon buckets full of water in the boat until he can get it low enough to get underneath there.
Hey. I'm not going there with that one.
No. I'm not filling my boat up with water.
Well, I don't think you could fill your boat up with water, could you?
No.
Yeah, you got flat deck and everything. His is a big bathtub, so. All right, I-75, what's going up around there?
I've got nothing.
There's been some pretty good redfish hanging out. On the north, the east bank of the bridge up in the sawgrass area. There's some pretty good redfish hanging out over there, and you know, there's quite a few snook. Most of the snook are on your smaller size, though.
What are they catching them on?
Shrimp.
Shrimp?
Yep, shrimp on jig head.
And just working the bushes and the sawgrass real thoroughly.
Yeah, there's a couple deep little like banks over there, and they're sitting all up in that mud bank right there, and there's quite a few fish over there.
That works.
All right. Going down to the 41 bridge. What's going on down there?
That's getting some better reports in general.
Okay.
They've been getting some trout, mm-hmm. mostly on the small side, but a couple of definite keepers. A lot of little snook this week, early in the evening and into just past dark. And one guy caught a bonnet head off of there and had another one on. Got him off, broke him off right next to the seawall. And then the couple of small whiting and a couple of little sugar trout.
I've been hearing about a lot of small trout.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Between the bridges and the power lines, more or less?
Between the bridge and the power lines.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's going to take us over to Lashley Pier. What's going on at Lashley Pier?
A couple small snapper, a couple decent sized sheep's head, not many, but a couple.
Small trout.
Small trout, yeah. Yeah, they've been real, not, I wouldn't say prolific.
Bite's been better.
Yeah, better than it has been in the past. It's just like the sheep's head, there's not very many, but the couple that were caught were pretty good size. One guy got one that was probably, I'm guessing by his picture, it looked like it was a good 4-pound fish.
Wow.
Had some pretty good girth to it, or height.
Gotcha. Alright, that's going to take us over to Bayshore Pier. What's going on Bayshore Pier?
I've got nothing.
Yeah, I don't have any reports out there. The one North Pier is closed, but the pier close to the bridge is still open, but I haven't gotten any reports out of there, so don't know what to say. And it's going to take us into the Port Charlotte Canal systems. What's going on there?
Really pretty good activity overall there. Two nights ago was the first night I've actually heard snook pop behind my house in months, literally. But guys have been catching some snook under the docks in the afternoons, some jacks. There's been some trout and sheep's head right at the mouths of the canals, especially over there by the Ackerman Waterway area. And then they've also been getting some black drum of assorted sizes, from little guys all the way up to the 20-25 pound range. How about you?
I mean, my light's full snook at nighttime. I was actually over there last night. Just look, I didn't bring a rod, but I was looking at them. There's a lot of snook in those canals.
My lights are loaded with snook now. We got probably 20, 30 snook on the lights. Nothing big where I would go, oh, wow, I'm going to go down there and try for them. A lot of smaller stuff.
Mm-hmm. But there's been quite a few tarpon, because actually the other day I drove down to Flamingo, you know, through a little dirt road.
Right.
And I got a little bank in there that I fished off the bank, and there was a lot of juvenile tarpon rolling back there. I mean, it's all the way back at the end of O'Hara, you know, that way. But, I mean, there's a lot of tarpon back there.
So, O'Hara, okay.
You take O'Hara all the way as you would go into 776.
Yeah.
It's off of T Street there.
T Street area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a long drive with a boat, but if you had a John boat or a kayak, you could put in right over there. And
well, I would say if you've got a fly rod and you're down for just a little bit, you know, and I would say that would be a good idea for right there.
I mean, I caught a couple of snook while I was sitting there. I couldn't get those tarpon to eat. I was throwing a white fluke, but I did get a couple of snook to eat.
I think if somebody was going to come in and say, really want to catch some fish on a fly rod, it would be worth the ride.
Oh, yeah.
Because you
definitely
could go up there with a fly rod and probably waylay those fish.
I'd say nobody goes in there.
All right, go up to Elgin Beam Pier. What's going on in Elgin Beam?
A lot of trout during the daytime. Mostly small to legal size fish with an occasional bigger one. It seems like the bigger ones have been coming right at sunset or just after sunset. Snook activity started to pick up a little bit in the evenings. And then also they've been getting a few more mangrove snapper, and the sheep's head are starting to move in there where they're a little bit more consistent as far as targetable goes. And they've been some fair size sheep's head at the same time. Also, the guys have been getting whiting. Some really, really good whiting. They're working at it all day, but they're getting a good mixed bag of sizes. Ron, the blonde-haired guy, comes in here all the time. He was telling me about it. So.
Okay. Anything else for Elgin Bean?
No, that's about it.
All right. And that's going to take us over to the rest of the Myakka area. What's going on in the rest of the Myakka? River cutoff, tippy canoe. What's going on?
Way upriver, there's some redfish way up the river, like way up the Myakka. There's also quite a few tarpon up there in that big 20-foot hole.
Just before 41?
Yes. There's a big variety of sizes there, up to like 120 pounds, 130 pounds.
It's right by that trailer park, right? Or is it just south of it?
No, like when if you put in at the Chancellor boat ramp, and you go left when you come out and you go to the river, it's that deep hole right there.
Okay. So down a little ways from the trailer park?
Yes.
What's going on in the cutoff?
There's a lot of small redfish. They've also been catching a lot of small trout in there right now, too. There has been a few nice sheep's head caught out of there, and there's quite a few big snook running around, but I haven't figured those ones out yet.
Neither has a couple other guys. They were in here yesterday asking about that.
Yeah, there's quite a few big snook in there.
Some real big fish coming up and sunning themselves on the banks and, you know, 2 feet of water, and guys are seeing them and wondering how to catch them. Good luck.
Yeah.
I'll have them caught this week.
That's what you say every year.
Yeah, I do, don't I?
You'll at least hook them.
I got to figure them out.
I know.
We got to bring the buffet at them and see what they want.
I know, and I know you're going to be successful at hooking them. It's that landing part that's tricky on those fish.
You know, I get so involved in trying to answer a question, I get fixated on it, and I'm trying to solve these puzzles and stuff. And that's why Coral is with those fish. He's got to figure out what they'll eat.
It drives me crazy.
How they're going to eat, and, you know.
If I know where those fish are at and I can't figure it out, it drives me crazy at nighttime. I bring the whole buffet. I'll bring everything in the whole gosh darn bait shop.
The woman I was helping there when you left to go to get your stuff, she was... You know, you were talking to me and everything, and she says, you know, he seems a little... I says, no, that's just Coral. He's figured out that this particular thing is the only thing that's going to work, and it can't be this way or that way. It has to be just this way. And I said, and he's not going to relax. He's not going to... I mean, we should have had you doing the show before we allowed you to go get that stuff, because he's like four times as hyper. I mean, you could literally feel the energy coming out of him. And she was like, is he okay? And I'm like, yeah, he just a little obsessive here. And even the woman noticed it, who I was talking to. You know, most of the time you meet Carlos, okay, yeah, hi, okay, like he is right now.
I was
now.
Excited.
Right.
I found my bait that I needed.
Yeah, all right. South Gulf Cove Canal.
The guys are catching a few small snook, trolling out of there. I heard of some jacks right at the locks themselves and some small redfish. Other than that, freshwater guys, I haven't seen them in here this week. Because usually they've been catching a few bass in the snook way in the back, but they didn't come in. If they did, I didn't see them to get a chance to chat with them.
Been hearing about a lot of small redfish right there, like if you're coming in from the harbor, right before you get to the locks on your right-hand side and all that little, like, creek areas in there.
Right.
There's been a lot of, you know, smaller redfish in there.
It's not too bad.
No, it's a neat little place once you get in there.
I like it. It's pretty back in there.
Got my first snook that I caught on top waters. I caught just outside the locks along that shoreline there.
Do you know about that little spot that's in there where you got to park your front of your boat up on the bank and walk across like a 5-foot section, and then there's a whole nother waterway back there?
And then there's a whole nother waterway.
Yeah.
They dug all that out. I don't know why they dredged it out the way they did.
I don't know, but it's good fishing in there.
No, it's good fishing if you walk back across that. I haven't been back there for a few years, but...
A lot of redfish hang out in there.
I didn't know there was something back there like that.
Yep.
It's on the backside.
Right. I just had no clue.
Yeah, no. I experiment everywhere.
Yeah. A couple of the charters I did, I'd have regulars on the boat who didn't mind getting out, getting their shoes dirty.
Yep.
We'd walk across there.
Gosh darn, I thought I was the only one I knew about that one.
Yeah, well, unfortunately. There's just, so much of the stuff that's out there.
But he is, Frank. He is the man, the myth, the legend.
The only problem that I had, like, is people who grow up here and become captains, like you. You grew up here and then become captains. Because I would, when I was chartering, there was a kid who got his license, and he was probably, I guess, late teens, early 20s, probably early 20s. He was the only one that ever gave me a problem, because I'd go, oh, look at the weather, all right, feel the water, okay, well, they'll probably be up here. And I'd head up to that spot, and if that son of a gun wasn't coming out of it, I mean, he grew up, he's like you, fishing here all the time. I don't know what happened to him. I haven't seen him in over 10 years. Wow. I think he decided to go get a real job. So, but yeah, it's the kids who grew up here that if they become captains.
Well, we started out on a John boat, so we know all those little hidden spots.
And that's the problem. The guys who come down and are going to become charter boat captains, you know, they know the east side, west side, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, but they don't know that little hole. You go through the bay, up a creek, you get up underneath the end of the bridge, and there's a real deep hole there, and that's where those fish are going to lie while it's cold. And then as soon as it starts warming up, they start coming up and working in those shallows right next to it. Those captains don't know any of that stuff. You guys do, the kids who grew up with John boats and walking in the water. All right, west wall, what's going on?
Unless you get up inside those creeks like Trout Creek, you know, Oyster Creek, No Name Creek, it's pretty bare on the outside. There's just not enough water. Once you get inside there, you're going to get some redfish, you're going to get snook, sheep's head. There's a lot of trout hanging out in Trout Creek right now. There's also been some good snapper being caught, especially out of like the Muddy Bay. There's been some really good sheep's head and snapper in there.
What about the bonnet heads? You hearing of any over there?
Not there. I know where there's a bunch happening on the west wall.
Gotcha. Yeah, I haven't heard much positive over there this week.
It's just not enough water.
Okay. That explains why I haven't heard much over there.
I've been driving down the wall, and it's pretty bare.
All right. That takes us down to Cape Hayes. What's going on Cape Hayes?
You know, Cape Hayes is really getting good.
Yeah, I've heard of it. A lot of bonnet heads, yes. Quite a few trout, a few bluefish, some mangrove snapper.
Flounder
and ladyfish.
I mean, every morning there's a big school of ladyfish right on Cape Hayes Point. Every morning.
Okay.
Out there by the channel marker?
No, literally right on the outside of the bar where everybody fishes for trout.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of ladyfish there every morning.
Gotcha.
Really? Mm-hmm. What's the best way to... how is the ladyfish doing for bait right now?
They're doing good. I'm using them as cut bait.
Okay.
But I use those Silly Willy jigs.
Right.
That's the best thing that I found that keeps them hooked.
So you're using those Silly jigs for the catch the ladyfish and then cutting them up into chunks for redfish, snook, whatever.
Yeah, everything.
So they're still doing pretty good on the cut bait. You don't need to have the live shrimp or the live bait. Cut bait's working pretty good.
For different fish, yes. But for your trout and all that, shrimp or lures is working excellent.
All right. Bull Bay, what's going on in... let's start with Bull Bay.
Well, underneath all the shacks, there's been some small mangrove snapper, but a lot of sheep's head messing around them. You know, I've heard of a couple of snook, but the sheep's head have been definitely the predominant choice underneath all those shacks.
And a couple small gags.
Yeah.
Gag grouper under them.
And then out there in the center part of it, in a little bit deeper water, Mike was telling me he's been catching a lot of trout, a few ladyfish, and a couple of bluefish just drifting along out there in the open water.
Yeah, Bull Bay's doing very good on the trout fishing. If you get up into the islands, like, in the middle or the back, there's a lot of redfish mixed in all those islands. They seem to be hanging around where there's access to deeper water. Like in your little bays that might have a deep cut in them, they seem to be hanging out in those type of areas.
Okay. Anything in Turtle Bay?
A lot of trout. Trout and turtles seem to be a little smaller than bull. But there is a lot of trout. There's also a lot of bonnet heads up inside Turtle Bay.
They just scattered all over the place, or are they in any particular depth of water?
They're just scattered because I went back there because I started seeing a lot. So I went back to check that one spot where I told you I found that they all gathered up at, but they weren't there yet.
Okay, coming down Cape Hayes Reef, Danger Reef, anything?
Cape Hayes Reef, I've heard of a couple small cobia, but nothing of legal size. And then the same way over at Danger Reef, but Danger Reef has also had some small gag grouper and some actual snapper. Nice sized sheep's head.
It's got some snapper on it.
Yeah. Any size to them?
Yeah, not really.
Yeah. A couple I heard were like really pretty puny, like 6-7
yep.
inches.
6-8 inches,
yeah. 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 Really, really good bait thieves. Oh, got a bite. Oh, nope. There goes my bait.
Yeah, start setting the hook before you leave the house. That usually helps pretty good.
Yeah, those little snapper, man, I can't believe how quick they can be with taking a shrimp off, whether it's a piece or not.
They're good.
They've been doing something behind the house, the same thing.
And you know what's funny is I can nail them on that Storm Twitch stick, those little tiny snappers.
Wow.
You feel them hitting the bait because if you got like 15-pound braid on, you twitch and give it a little pull, and you feel them smacking the bait, and just set the hook, and you'll either snag them or hook them. But I find underneath the mangroves, and I want to know, is it pinfish or snappers? What's stealing all my shrimp? You know, what's picking my bait apart? Yeah. And I'll put the Storm Twitch on there, and I can find every time. Literally amazing how they just beat the tar out of that lure.
Haven't tried that yet.
Yeah, I've actually caught a bunch of pinfish for bait one day just using the Storm. So, let's see. Gaspro Sound, Tailing Flats, up behind Boca, Devilfish, Whiddon, Catfish, whatever.
You know, there's a lot of trout in the Whiddon Creek, Devilfish area, Sandfly area. There's a lot of trout running around there. There's quite a few ladyfish off of K.O. Palu. If you get
what
up,
you doing there, Robert?
Cooling off.
You're getting naked.
Yeah.
if you get up.
Okay. All right.
Chubbendales tonight.
Yeah, Chubbendales.
You want change?
Yes. Get those dollars out.
Nice.
I haven't made Robert turn red in a long time.
Yes, he did the other day. He made me choke, too, pretty good.
I knew I got your joke.
She asked me about that, too, by the way. She was listening. I will tell you later.
Sorry, Robert.
It's all good. She got a kick out of it once she figured out the inside joke.
Well, I didn't say it out loud. I was thinking it, but I didn't say it. And you all can think about whatever that possibly might have been when she heard it and she turned red when him turned red. Okay. So anyway, Gasparilla Sounds, we were talking about something. Is there any redfish on the flats?
There's a lot of redfish in Whiting Creek and Catfish Creek right now.
Are all those big snook in there too?
No.
No?
Nope.
Okay.
They're in the bayou.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, going down to the Placida Trestle, what's going on down there?
A lot of sheep's head.
Yeah.
A lot of sheep's head. I mean, the guys are sitting up in boats, standing on the pier. The sheep's head definitely kind of almost taken over down there as far as the predominant species being caught.
Quite a few snook. Not no good ones, but there's quite a few snook hanging out on those trestles.
What about the pompano? Have you heard of any over there at all?
Nope.
I heard three of one sisters. Guy hooked one, and then that was it. You know, and so
I found some in Three Sisters.
Right.
All right. What's a pompano? All right, I'm going to go back up under Gasparilla Sound area. I'll add the pompano.
That Three Sisters area in general has been doing the pompano, some trout some ladyfish, a couple bluefish. It's been pretty consistent little area lately. A lot of the guys have been seeing your website and going to the kayak launch over there at 19th Street and fishing those flats and sneaking up behind the Three Sisters and been doing pretty good.
Yeah, I'll put a link to the Three Sisters so you can see where it is. I don't know if I'll have time to build a page, but I can do a quick link from Google on that.
Yeah, in the bayou, in those docks, when you come out the boat ramp,
yeah,
there's a lot of sheep's head hanging out on those docks. There's a lot of snapper. If you look at Bird or the island as you're going towards Englewood right there, there's a lot of redfish on those two islands right now.
Right outside the main boat ramp?
Yes. Yep, quite a few redfish were hanging around in that area, and there's some very good snook on those docks.
Did you put in down there on Thursday?
Yes.
Was the boat ramp packed when you got there?
I go to Eldred's.
Well, yeah, I know, but you drive right by it.
No. Not when I drove by it.
I had a guy tell me he got there at like 8 o'clock and had to park way in the other secondary parking lot.
Well, a lot of times it depends on how many people going over to Boca, how many leave cars, and I mean, there's just all kinds of stuff.
Thursday was a beautiful day, and
there was a lot of people out there, I can tell you that. I was triple tail fishing that day, and there was a lot of people out there.
All right, take us up to Lemon Bay. What's going on in Lemon Bay?
A lot of trout. Hearing of a lot of trout and some good sized trout.
Trout and sheep's head. There's also been quite a few snook in like that ski alley canal.
Buck Creek. Isn't that what it is? Buck Creek?
No, that's not Buck. Buck's on
the No, I'm talking about Buck Creek. So that's the name of it up a little further.
Yes.
Yeah, Buck Creek's had some trout, some snook, some reds, and some jacks. Guys have been doing real good in there, having a good time. But the sheep's head and the trout have been just pretty abundant everywhere on the flats, underneath the docks, some of the sand holes. I mean, that's...
A lot of the guys are just throwing paddle tails.
Really?
That's what they're doing the best on.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's the year of the paddle tail.
It is.
Those DOA Cal Shads are just going off the hook. Bass Assassin's doing pretty good. The Slayer's not doing very well at all. The Mirror Lure
I'm doing
one.
Good with Slayer.
Yeah.
You're the only one.
In like Whitten Creek, Catfish Creek, I'm throwing
very
a lot of the
specific
Slayers.
Areas.
Yes.
Yeah, slow rolling them with that big tail.
Jig head, and I'm just very, very that? Slow rolling.
Oh, okay.
Somebody, Tim Wilson.
Somebody walked by and said hi. Okay.
I just wave when they wave.
Yeah.
Too far away.
Yeah, you can't see them, I know. It's like people are...
If they I'm talk, I'm there golden.
With my back to them at the counter, and they're talking away, and I'm like, no. I turn around, oh, people there.
Yeah.
So, okay, Englewood, the Anger Pier next to the Tom Adams Bridge.
The Anger Pier has been getting some trout kind of off and on throughout the day, and a few sheep's head, not a lot, but a handful. They've been some better quality sheep's head. I haven't heard of really anything else off of there. It's been packed with a lot of people fishing off of it, but I just haven't heard much.
Okay. This is going to take us out into the Gulf of Mexico now. So
wow, there you go. This is going to be a good one.
Let's start along. Are the crab trap buoys still out there?
Yes.
Okay.
We have
tail.
Until what May 1st? I think 1st. Is when stone crabs get the traps will get pulled. So
yeah, there's a lot of triple tail out there. A lot.
Getting fewer every day. You get these beautiful days like that. I mean, there's a lot of people out there fishing those triple tail.
All right. So what else is going on?
Snapper bites going amazing right now.
Yeah, snapper, sheep's head, porgies, anywhere from
flounder.
3 to 12 miles out is just really, really good. I mean, even if you set up on Novak Reef with the other 10 boats, there's
10.
Everyone's catching fish. I know, but I'm just saying, just arbitrary number, you know, because some people are like, well, there's too many boats on it. Well, they're doing that well on all these nearshore reefs, whether it's Charlotte Rocks, Helen's Reef, it doesn't seem to matter. They're just doing exceptionally good. And the coolest part is, you know, Peg Leg brought it up the other day. He was catching them on gulp because he got tired of the squid and shrimp. But a couple other guys have said it since, too, with the gulp. They're just putting it down and catching them on their jig heads because they started off looking for triple tail and trout inside and went out there and just started playing around with that. You know, pretty darn amazing. The other thing I've heard a few reports of on those buoys have been...
Barracuda.
I've been seeing...
And I'm going to tell you another thing. There's a lot of sharks. Like, the other day I was out there. There's a lot of sharks.
Well, this is the time of year when the sandbars start to move in a little bit closer.
Small,
Atlantic sharp nose will be out there a little bit. Are you seeing any bait
black
to go
nose,
on?
Black nose sharks are thick out there right now. I've gotten about 4 guys that have shown me pictures of sharks. Oh, I caught these black tips.
There's
no, they're black nose. And pretty much every one of them was a black nose.
Yep.
But the only way to tell the difference is a black tip and an Atlantic sharp nose. By the dorsal fin, the pec fins, is bigger and thicker there. A black nose is more skinny all the way down. He doesn't have that bulkier shoulders. It's more of consistent size, just to help you. But
there's a lot of sharks. Yeah, in that 4 foot range. They're small ones, but there's a lot of sharks.
That's good stuff, though. It's still fun. Yeah. But the barracuda have been the weird one. Yeah, I mean, it's not
there's been some big barracudas.
Right.
Mike and I were talking about it this morning because he's like confused by it because they're usually not around, and the only thing I can tell him is that.
Well, I think chances they're eating a triple tail.
Yeah, because
when the one I seen the other day, he was munching on something when I pulled up because I spun back around on him. Just, you know, we were gonna try to catch him, and he was sitting there munching on something. I don't know what it was, but
and it wouldn't surprise me if they were hitting triple tail, maybe. But the biggest thing is, I think the cudas hang out around there a lot more than we think. It's just that normally the water temperatures are so cool that they stay way down deep and they're a little bit more lethargic. But when you get these blast of warm air and warm weather like this, I mean, the water temperature came up 4 to 6 degrees depending on where you're at. Nothing.
Not much. No. Okay. All right, let's go to the passes. Let's start up in Venice. What's going on?
A lot of sheephead fishermen up there. Most of the sheephead have been small from what I've been hearing about up there. But they are catching quite a few of them, along with some mangrove snapper. There has been a couple reports of Spanish mackerel coming through, but nothing in good numbers. And then the occasional trout. But other than that, it's been pretty quiet.
Few snook.
Have they been?
Yep. Not a lot, but a few snook have been caught at the Venice jetties.
Gotcha. Have you heard anything down there by Caspersons at all?
Nothing.
All right. Let's drop down to Stump Pass. What's going on, Stump?
Stump Pass, a lot of little whiting, whole lot of lizard fish. That's about all I've heard about, to be honest. You got nothing?
Okay. Nothing there.
That would take us down to Little Gasparilla.
I haven't heard anything there, to be honest.
Like I've been seeing, when I've been going out in the mornings, there has been some snook hanging out right on the points. A lot of small snook, but there's been some snook hanging out there, but that's about it.
Okay. And Boca Grande.
Sheephead. Bonnet heads. A couple of pompano. A couple of flounder. A couple of bluefish.
Sheep's head bite's been the best.
Yeah, the sheep's head have been ridiculous out there. And they're fishing from the point all the way into the oil dock.
Captiva?
Almost a mirror image, honestly, of Boca. I mean, a lot of sheep's head through there. There has been a few gags. One guy caught a 28-inch gag while he was in there. And he was fishing for sheep's head using shrimp.
Nice. Bet you that was a fun fight.
Yeah, he couldn't believe it. He was pretty excited.
If you follow those docks just in, there's a lot of snook on the Captiva docks, just on the inside of the pass. There's a lot of snook on them docks right now.
Well, there you go. I know sometimes those trout will get on the outside of those docks, but I haven't heard of any of them around there.
Mm-mm.
It's a beautiful area this time of year, though. That water's so clear.
Yeah.
All right. And now we're going to take a walk along the beaches. And any beach on the Gulf of Mexico that you can walk along and cast a rod out, what would you be likely to catch?
There's been a handful of whiting, depending on which beach you're at. Been a handful of sheep's head on occasion.
Pompano.
A few pompano, an occasional flounder. The flounder I've been hearing about that they've been catching on the beach have been small, like 12 inches and under.
So pompano and what else?
Pompano, a few whiting.
You might also get a mackerel. There has been some mackerel running.
The bonnet head's the main thing that I've been hearing about with some consistency at any one of the beaches, really, more than anything else. Especially as you get closer to the passes.
Okay, and that's going to take us over to Ponarasa, Sanibel. You get their own little section off on the islands down there. Anything going on down there?
Right around the Sanibel Causeway, guys have been catching some pretty decent-sized trout jigging. Just throwing their soft plastics down deep and working them real slow, hopping. North of Ponarasa along the docks heading towards St. James City area, same thing out on those flats. A lot of trout, a couple of bonnet heads. And they've been seeing a couple of flounder, but not hooking them as they're drifting across those flats. Other than that, I haven't heard much else.
Anything, Carl?
No, I didn't get to get down there at all.
All right. Alright, that's going to take us over to the Coosatchee River.
Nah, I've got nothing other than I heard of some jacks, but that was way out at the mouth, more or less, by Sanibel.
Carl?
No, sir.
Okay. We got to get some more reports for down there. Matt Lachey, what's going on in Matt Lachey?
Now you're talking to your backyard. Come on.
There's a lot of sheep set and flounder around those oyster beds in Matt Lachey, around the power lines. There's quite a few redfish mixed in from the power lines north. There's a lot of small snook in there, but cut bait's been working the best down there, crab.
I've been hearing of quite a few redfish being caught right there in those Cape Coral canals, too.
It wouldn't surprise me. They're not balled up. They're very, very spread out, but there's a lot of redfish all over the place.
Underneath the bridge?
A lot of sheep's head.
Sheep's head, some snook, and also been hearing about a few trout being caught.
Yeah, the sheep's head have been the main one that I've been hearing about down there on the bridge itself.
Okay. Boy, there's going to be a lot of spell check on this one when I get done. I'm looking at this going, oh, man, there's so many red lines on this. This is sad. Okay, Pine Island Sound.
Pine Island Sound's been really good, especially on the northern end from, say,
well, that's kind of Boquilla, Robert.
Yuseppa? No. Yuseppa.
Oh, north. All,
like Yuseppa, the whole area around Yuseppa, Cabbage Key. Mm-hmm. Even right down to the shacks, that whole right vicinity there has been trout. A lot of nice trout.
Very good trout.
Some fishing. Good sheep's head up underneath the mangroves and some of those deeper potholes. And then down right there by Captiva Rocks, there's been some sheep's head, some trout, a few bonnet heads, and an occasional bluefish. And I've heard of like 3 and 4 pound bluefish a couple different times this week. Wow. So that's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
You know, usually there's those little snappers that are a pound if you're lucky.
those flats around Mondongo area has been holding some very good trout. And if you push up to like more towards the island where it drops off right from the real shallow and drops off into that 2 or 3 feet, there's been a lot of redfish running that drop off.
What are you catching those on there?
Cut pinfish? Yes.
Yeah. Surprising. If you work around, usually this time of year it's all rat reds, but this year, you know, the guys that are working really hard at it have been getting some quality fish.
Yeah, there's a lot of oversized.
Even the other day, I was going to say you caught all those oversized fish.
Yep.
Those are pretty good pictures too, by the way.
Hey.
Getting much better with some of your photographing.
Yeah, pretty good teacher.
You're doing good. I've noticed that they're nice and lit up and got them.
That's the hard part. Right. When you get out there, it's so bright and sunny. If there's any shadow on the person's face or anything, you can't see them at all.
Well, like I told all these guys, you know, use your flash. Have your flash on all the time, whether you're using your cell phone or whether you're using a point and shoot. Doesn't matter. Your flash should always be on because it will fill in that shadow just enough where you can actually distinguish that it is George or whoever.
Yeah, that's what you keep telling me, but I honestly don't. I put my flash on and everything's still dark.
No. Most of the time it does work.
Yeah, but I got an iPhone and, you know, it has some amazing stuff, but it doesn't work like anything else on the planet. It seems to be, you know, butt backwards from everything. So, anyway, Jug Creek Shoals, Boquilla area. What's going on there?
A lot of trout. Most of them have been small, but a lot of trout around that area. And then up at the Boquilla Pier, they have been catching some sheep's head off of there.
You know, if you go to it would be the east of Boquilla Pier. Those docks have been holding a lot of sheep's head. They've also been holding a lot of snook and a few redfish on them docks. You know, everybody's getting them on shrimp because everybody's really fishing for the sheep's head, but they're picking off snook and a few redfish.
Redfish of size, or are they mostly the smaller guys?
22s, 24 inches.
So legal size fish.
Yeah, that's legal fish, good fish.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Burnt Store, Two Pines, what's going on there?
Two Pines has a lot of snook on your outer islands. If you go out into the flats, there's been quite a few trout down there out in front of Two Pines. All the redfish that seem to be over there are way in the back, sitting there pretty much sunning themselves. I don't know what they're doing back there, but there's a lot of crab traps.
A lot of crab traps?
Yep.
Wow. When did those get put in?
They're in the back, though. They're a few set islands back.
Oh, gotcha.
But I'm not sure if that's what those redfish are eating or not, but I drove through the other day, and I was looking at a lot of redfish going to a deep hole that I have back there.
Well, next day you're not booked, I might hire you. And I also need to hire you to take... there's a guy comes in here.
LT?
LT?
Yeah.
The big guy?
No, black guy who works up at the...
I've been telling him to call me.
Washes dishes.
Washes dishes over here.
He washes dishes up here at Bob Evans.
Oh, no, I thought you were talking about the bass.
He fishes behind my house all the time off the bridge.
Oh.
He's always sitting up there on the bridge.
He works so hard. He does. And, you know, he's one of those...
He's lived here forever.
And I just have so much respect for him because he works hard. He does a great job. I mean, he's very good, loves to fish. But, you know, with his job, he doesn't make enough money to be able to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So I hired one of the captains. I paid one captain the other day to take him out because I asked him while he was in here. I said, have you ever been out? When's the last time you were out on the flats fishing, you know, in a boat? He says, well, I've never been. And I said, oh, no, we're going to fix this. So I hired one captain. I don't want to hire you to take him out. And anybody who works that hard is such a good person. He's as nice as he can be. You know, that's the type of person that deserves a break. Mm-hmm. Hard working and everything. So I'm going to buy him a couple of charters and get him out. And I want to pay for him to go out in the Gulf. But, you know, I do fairly well. And I think if you're going to spend money on something, that's the way to spend the money on it.
Absolutely.
And what a great guy. So, anyway, we're going to go over to the east side.
Huh.
And I'm not saying that because I'm just trying to tell Carl what's going on. But, you know, you meet so many people and, you know, and they kind of want to be something. Yes. He enjoys being him.
Yeah.
I respect the hell out of him. All right. East side, what's going on the east side?
Pirate Harbor area.
Are the three of us so damn tired? Hmm. This is like the most boring fishery report I've ever heard.
Like what I have to say about the east side.
It's just...
I'm like, what is going on? I listen to you guys. Come on, snap out of here, folks. I'm going to go over and get my whippet stick here in a minute.
Well, I was good with all the rest of the reports, but the east side, you're not going to like what I have to say.
All right, what's up with the east side?
I ran the east side the other day, and I seen two fish from Pirate Harbor all the way to Ponce.
Well, I believe you. Okay, Robert?
It depends on the guy you talk to. Flip a coin, but, I mean, they have been getting some trout over there and some bonnet heads on top of the bar and on the outside edge of the bar. And then some guys have been doing fair to good on the redfish up inside the islands, going back up in there and just working them real slow and thorough. And most of the guys are using gulp and having their more production off of the gulp on a jig head than they are on their own shrimp. I have not heard of any trout on the inside of the trough. I haven't heard of any snook or redfish on the outside islands at all. Everything's been tucked up in there a little bit, which this might change this week because of how warm it's gotten.
Now I got a question. When have I ever told you to do a good report? Have I ever influenced anybody's report on any place? Never.
Nope.
Other than liven up and simmer
down or something like that.
I was good with the whole rest of the report until we got to the East Wall, and I'm not very impressed over there.
What I wrote was coin toss whether you have a good day or not. Do I need a spell check around the inside? I can't even find my cursor. I'm having one of those days. Inside the islands, there is some redfish. According to Captain Carl, it sucks here.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, the two fish that I seen were very, very good redfish. I mean, they were in the 30s, but that's all I seen. I ran my normal route through the islands, like even in the way back. And
all right, what's going on in Alligator Creek?
Honestly, all I've heard about has been some jacks up there by the restaurant and going into Burnt Store Isles.
All right. I don't
know about you, Carl. You were shaking your head. You kind of got excited for half a second there.
There's been some black drum inside Alligator Creek up in, what is that,
Burnt Store Isles?
Yes. There's been some black drum. There's also been, you know, quite a few snook up in there.
No, in that in the creek itself or in Burnt Store Isles?
Burnt Store Isles. Okay. Now, we know there is like 2 million black drum between the Punta Gorda Isles canals and the Burnt Store Isle canals. How many...
People are calling the shop asking what they can do to get them out of there.
Black drum. I used to do charters through there, and I would laugh.
Is that your impersonation of a black drum?
Yes. That was my impersonation of a black drum. What, you got an issue with that, buddy?
Sound like a black drum that was trying to be a ghost or something. I'm not quite sure what that was.
But that's what I used to do to people. I would take them snook fishing in the evenings, my second trip of the day or whatever, drifting through. When you come in through ponds and you just drift that canal going up towards the big area, and those black drum will come and lay up right under the boat and vibrate and make noise. And when I'd get there, we'd start fishing, and I knew it would take, you know, 10 minutes or so for them black drum to get up and lay up under the boat and start to vibrate. And I'd start talking about the ghost of fish I caught past, you know what I mean, and how upset the fish in this canal were with me for taking all these snook out and stuff. And I'd say sometimes, I said, this is a very haunted canal. And then one of those black drum would get up underneath the boat and just... and the whole boat starts shaking. You gotta see their eyes get big. And they're like, what? I said, oh, don't worry about him. That's just the ghost of a fish. He can't hurt you. He's a ghost. I would just do that. How many calls? I've gotten at least 2-3 calls a week. Is this really fish? They're vibrating the walls of people's houses.
Inside their houses.
Yeah. Inside the house. They get up by the seawall and vibrate, and that transmits through the ground, and the slabs around their pools, the inside concrete or the concrete walls of the house actually vibrate from so many fish there.
You'd think it might be like a bass from like a teenager's car you know, a half a mile away. It's just like,
yeah, if you're ever
good enough but subtle enough where you're kind of questioning whether you're hearing
boom,
it or not.
Boom, 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 coming from the cars. That's the kind of vibration we're talking about. The
first time I ever heard that was in the Midway Canal when I was a teenager in an aluminum John boat. It was just, it scared the daylights out of me. Yeah, I mean,
it's awesome. I
had no idea. Go faint, then get louder, then louder, and then go faint again, and go, you know, as I'd go past it or whatever, because I was just using the trolling motor back in there. It's just like, wow, that was freaky. And then it happened again. I'm like, but what's going on?
I'm the sadistic son of a gun who put the spider boxes on the counter.
Can you
imagine me and all my stories and as full of BS as I am, you know, going on and on with these people about the ghost of fish past and
the whole boat
starts vibrating and shaking. Oh, man, it was awesome.
That would be a good time.
So.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people calling. What do we do about these drums? How do we get them out of here?
And I try to explain to
them. Nothing you can do.
Less than 2% of everybody who's ever been to Southwest Florida has ever got to hear that.
Yeah.
It is awesome. I say, have a ghost party. You know, invite a bunch of friends over. And then when you start to notice it, say, okay, everybody, the house is haunted. Everybody get real quiet. Turn the music off. Make sure everybody's real quiet and listen to the house vibrate. I mean, how awesome would that be?
That'd be neat.
And then you can take the flashlights out to the canal and look for the fish.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're hearing this in your house, have a big party. Have some friends over. Let them experience this. I mean, yeah, it can be annoying at 2:00 in the morning when your whole house is shaking, but
it's neat though.
Literally awesome. All right, Ponce de Leon Park, what do we got?
It's picking up just a little bit, but it's still fairly slow there. I've heard of a few sheep's head, couple snook, couple black drum, but overall, nothing.
I've been talking to the people that I see every day there, and they've been struggling. They've been getting a couple snapper and a couple sheep's head a day, but it's been pretty slow.
Yeah, ever since they dredged it, it's taken a little bit longer than normal than...
Yeah, that dredging stirred everything up, and it messed up the fishing in there for a little bit.
You think people would be able to translate J-E-A-D as sheep jed instead of sheep head?
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. All right. The PGI canals and stuff like that. Okay. Obviously, we got to say black drum.
A lot of black drum.
Yep.
There's quite a few jacks running in the canals, too. There's been quite a few snook on the smaller size. and there's been occasional redfish being caught. You know, why people are fishing the docks for snapper or sheepshead, they've been hooking a couple nice redfish.
Yeah, definitely. I've heard of some of the sheepshead or the redfish back in there while they've been doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've heard of even a couple of trout way back in there along the rim canal. You know, and they've been catching those while they've been trolling on their way in or out. I haven't heard of anyone actually catching them while targeting them just by incidental bycatch.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Gilcrest Pier, it's closed.
It's closed.
Okay. I'm just going to mark that closed. Good God. Maybe if I didn't have so much junk laying on my desk, I could actually type better. Nah.
No, I think you're accustomed to that. If they took it off, it'd probably be worse.
Yeah. All right. That's why we don't do a video report. Telling that right now. I don't want anybody to see my desk. People walk by and they look at the piles of stuff. And then, because, I mean, I got samples here. I got a lid for my coffee cup. I got stuff I'm writing articles about. I've got new products because March 24th on the tent sale, we've got so many vendors this year. I have no idea what I'm going to do. I was trying to tell Terry and Robert that I might want to start using part of the back parking lot because I don't think we're going to fit everybody up front. And if we do that, I want to put the entrance and exit in the back lot.
Yes.
And just have one way in, one way out, close off everything out front, just have everybody going through. But if we do that, we're going to have to take that row of little freezers, you know, under the Yozuri and Sabil. We're going to have to take those freezers and put them out back because we're never going to have enough room for 3,000 people to walk through the store during the day if we have those freezers there. But I think if we took those freezers out, we could probably pull it off. And then what we'd do is open up the back gate and have somebody standing there just doing shrimp orders for anybody who pulls up. They can come in and go right out. Easy right there.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. One way in, one way out.
And eliminate some of the... That way all we have to do is have somebody over at the dry cleaner keeping their parking lot open. And then that would simplify everything. But mm-hmm. getting everybody from the back of the store to the front of the store, that's what worries me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That'll be tricky.
That's going to be tricky. I don't really know how we would go about that. But anyway, if anybody's got any good ideas, maybe we can get Sean to open his back door and make a route through his place as well.
There's no room to walk through the alleyway.
What?
There's no room to walk through that alleyway.
Why?
We'd have to clean it all.
Well, that's the other thing that would have to happen is I'd have to get back there and clean it all up.
Yeah.
You know? But I was just trying to think of some way to do that. All right, Alligator Creek Reef. What's going on at the reef?
Sheepshead. Sheepshead, sheepshead, and more sheepshead. Other than that, it's pretty much quiet.
Oh, no. No.
Heard cobia. Of a couple
of I've heard of a couple short ones that swam by the boat.
No. What's his name's over there? He's been waylaying the cobia.
Yeah. Richie's back at catching them again.
He's back catching the cobia, and
he's getting some good ones.
I saw him in here cobia, yesterday morning. But he didn't
snappers,
say anything about them.
Sheephead.
The sheephead. He's been wearing them out. He had some big fish the other day.
He also said he's catching a couple redfish out there,
all the way out at the reef,
which surprised the heck out of me. But he says it's not a every time thing. But he said he got a couple oddball redfish.
You know, you would almost think you'd be starting to see some, like, bonnet sharks cruising around that reef out there, but I almost never hear anybody catching a bonnet shark out there.
No, it goes in little tiny spurts. You'll hear one here, one there, but very, very infrequent.
Very seldom. I mean, you would just think that it would be a natural stop for them. What about gag grouper, goliath grouper, anything like that over there?
I haven't heard of either one of them.
I haven't tried for them.
All right. That's going to take us out to the deep holes in the harbor. What are we talking about in the deep holes in the harbor?
Catfish.
Mainly catfish. There has been a few pods of ladyfish. But they've been in the south hole and the middle hole.
Yeah. All right.
So I've been driving through the harbor and I've been seeing the birds working them, you know, here and there.
All right. Now, I'm almost going to say, with the ladyfish working out there, any day the mackerel should show up there. I'm going to say sometime either this week or next week, we're going to start seeing a lot of Spanish mackerel out there.
Well, there's been a lot of fry in the harbor lately.
Yeah, the glass minnows are up in the harbor. With those glass minnows being in the harbor, there's not much for, like, usable bait, but that glass minnow is what brings everything in.
Yeah.
And
that's the key to the health of the harbor, absolutely.
Yeah, I've been seeing quite a few pods of, you know, little glass minnows and stuff in the harbor when I've been driving.
Well, that's probably a relatively good call.
All right, here's going to be something that probably won't take as much time as we'd hoped, but we're into the bait reports. Now, this is where we go through and try and figure out where the different bait is. Any white bait around, Carl?
No comment.
All right. Anything out in the Gulf? Like, can you sabiki any out there?
I'm not sure about... I mean, you might be able to. There's plenty of pinfish. There's plenty of ladyfish.
All right, well, let's one thing at a time here.
White bait he's concentrated on at the moment.
The Gulf. All right, any thread fins around anywhere?
No.
Yeah, I haven't heard of any either.
All right, pinfish.
Devilfish has some. Sandfly has some. Bird key has some.
And the marker buoy right outside the pass has them on it, too.
Yep. Also, a smokehouse.
Okay, outside the pass.
Basically, the usual places where you'd look for white bait in the harbor.
yeah, but I mean, I tried on Pirate Harbor the other day, and I threw like five times and got like two pinfish.
So. Oh, geez. Yeah. Yeah, that's not as productive.
No. Not when you're throwing a big net. You don't want to sit there and throw for one pinfish at a time.
Right.
That gets okay. Old. Ladyfish.
K.O. Palu. K.P.'s Point. Three Sisters. And there's been, you know, random pods in the harbor, you know, sitting on that little glass minnows.
Inside Bull Bay. That's where I've been hearing about them the most consistency.
Okay. What else are we doing bait-wise? Anything else?
Not much. Been a lot of blue runners out there in the Gulf. I mean, in and around the reefs, around some of those crab trap buoys, and also the range markers right outside of Boca.
And to be honest with you, I mean, artificial is working amazing right now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead and be a little more specific.
Gold spoons, DOA cows, the DOA shrimp. Those are working very good right now.
I'm going to tell you, so an extraordinary amount. But one of the things I've been doing with people is teaching them how to Texas rig a lot of these baits. And using a bullet weight and a weedless worm hook, because the Texas rigging right now seems to be, if you want to be, you know, down along the bottom, it's actually doing better than jigging form. Because with the Texas rig, as you lift up real hard with the rod, give a good pop up, and the weight will separate away from the gulp shrimp or the jerk bait or the shrimp bait, whatever you've got on the hook. You rig it up weedless like you would for bass, and then that bullet weight, as you jerk it up, separates way away from it. The sinker falls down quickly, and then the bait drifts down to the bottom, so you're getting a separation between your weight and your lure bait, and that has been producing some amazing results. I did it the other guy. A guy wanted a jig head, and we didn't have them in the right size. We had them where the jig head flops around, but the hook kind of comes out. Mm-hmm. He says, well, that allows the bait to kind of wiggle more. And I said, well, you know, those articulous ones, yeah. And we've got the sleds and all these other ones, but the jig head is usually a ball or something, and then it's got a hook on it, but the hook swivels separately from the head. And they say that extra movement when they jig it and then it hits the bottom, that little extra movement is when they've been getting their hits. They said, well, if that works, why don't you go to Texas rig?
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. Yeah.
Well, the Texas rig gives you more slower motion to the bait, because then it's going to, the as you pop your rod tip up, the weight gets knocked forward a few inches or a foot, and then it falls to the bottom. Then that soft plastic, whatever it might be, or gulp bait, drifts slowly down to the bottom and then can lay there and flop around just a second. And then as you sketch it forward, it tightens it back up to the weight. Yeah. When you feel the pressure of the weight, then you give a real good pop up to the rod, a real hard lift, and that throws the whole thing back up in the air into the water again, and then they separate again and goes to the bottom. And that's been doing really good on a lot of the fish, from the flounder, redfish, and stuff like that. And your crawdad stuff that you came up with, the Strike King crawdads, that's a great one to Texas rig for the redfish.
The trout are crushing that for some odd reason. The redfish are eating it. I've been noticing that a lot of lighter colors are working better.
Well, I ordered the lighter colors in those crawdad tails. Hopefully, they're going to be here real soon, because we sold out of all the light colors. The Bama Craw right now for redfish is doing pretty good, because it's got like that gold and dark on it. Mm-hmm. So you get a little light and dark. But I ordered some whites and some other colors.
Yeah, whites have been working very good. Like Nuclear Chicken has been working very, very well. A lot of your lighter colors are working very good right now.
All right. Speaking of Texas rigging, going bass fishing now. We're into the freshwater ponds, creeks, canals. How's the area up off Price doing?
Still really good. A lot of guys been using the shiners up there mostly.
Mm-hmm.
A few guys have been throwing some worms, buying some soft plastics, but definitely the shiners have been the key thing right now.
A few people have been buying those broken back Rapalas.
Yeah.
They've been using a lot of them, I've been seeing.
Well, there you go.
It's kind of mimicking, you know, the shiner.
Right.
Rapala is... All right, any other places that are good for bass?
Rotunda. Been hearing some good reports over there in Rotunda, some of those lakes and canal systems. And those lakes, they've been catching a couple snook and juvenile tarpon as bycatch, because those got all of the above in them.
That's neat when you're bass fishing and you go hook a big snook or a tarpon.
First time I ever did that, it just shocked the heck out of me. I think I was probably about 16, 17 at the time, and
yeah, it's neat.
It just floored me. I'm like, yeah. Really? I'm in a freshwater lake. I was out in Inglewood in one of the... who knows what ponds, and got a snook, and it wasn't a big snook, but I'm like, you know, I was really? From Arizona. I mean, I was visiting here, you know, I didn't really know anything. I was just doing what I did.
What kind of bass is this?
Right.
What kind of bass is this? What kind of bass has a single stripe on it? It doesn't make any sense.
It was the second snook I'd ever caught, and I dreamt about him and watched him on TV many times, so I knew what it was, but it just floored me, because, I mean, at that time, there was cattails in that lake and lily pads. I mean, there was no way. I mean, I was completely boggled that I caught a saltwater fish, because everything I knew about it from TV and magazines was saltwater.
Yeah.
Not a clue that it would live in 100% freshwater.
Okay. Speaking of the bass fishing, I hear Shell Creek and then got small bass in them, but since Irma, the bass fishing really quieted down up there. Yeah. Irma kind of destroyed the bass fishing up there again.
Yep. Been a little on the quiet side, unfortunately.
What about tilapia, Mayans,
tilapia,
bluegills?
Mayan.
Nine Mile has been doing very good on tilapia.
Yeah.
Getting some pretty big ones out of there.
They've been getting some crappie and bluegills out of there, too, in addition to it. Yeah. And up there around Horse Creek off the Peace River, they can get some nice bluegills, some Mayan cichlids, tilapia, obviously. A lot of guys are seeing those plecos swimming around up there around the Horse Creek area too, which is, you know, they're pretty abundant all over up there on that Peace River. You took me into Iron Lake that one day, and geez, they were all swimming along the surface.
Yeah, we were catching them with the landing nets. Yeah. I was just trolling along. We were holding the landing net outside the boat to see how many we could get in the landing net as we idled along.
I tried to do that the other day with a triple tail. A little sucker, we threw at him, and he chased the shrimp out. And then he just tried to keep coming under the boat. And I'm backing off on the trolling motor. I'm like, give me the landing net. As soon as he seen me with the net, he dove down. I was like, you little sucker.
All right. And that was with an S, I hope. All right. Yes. All right. Anyway, let's see. Anything? Oh, Gar up in the Peace River, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Gar have been doing pretty well up there. Shell Creek, Navigator North. You know, it's been some good ones. And then also up there, a couple guys at that Sleeping Turtle Preserve up there on the Myakka. They've been getting some Gar up there. It's a beautiful little park. You ever been up there?
Yeah, it's a neat little area.
Like walking the bank there.
What did you say was there? I was typing.
Just Gar. That's all I've been hearing about up there. Other guy's having a field day because he's catching half a dozen to a dozen a day and hooking a whole bunch in between.
Well, fun fight.
I can honestly tell you, I used to get paid a lot of money to go Gar fishing because mm-hmm. they're 3 to 5 foot long.
Right. And with teeth and armor plating.
Yeah, and you're. Yeah. I mean, we were up there, and they just had a ball on those light rods. We're using trout rods with them, so it was very, very challenging.
Yeah.
And, but, Gar fishing's a lot of fun. It doesn't get the credit it deserves.
No, not and at all.
I think if you're out there bass fishing, you're going to go into times where you hit bowfin, and when you find something that just pulls and hauls and just tears everything up. And that wasn't a bass. That was a bowfin. Because yep. they hit the same stuff. And
they're strong.
They're strong. Fast. Yeah. Strong and fast. All right. Now we're into the tarpon reports. What do we got on tarpon reports here?
There's been some up at the Sans Souci Trestles. There's also some in the back, the very back of T Street, O'Hara Waterway.
And I haven't heard of any at all. You're the first one to come up with them in a week, unfortunately.
That's the only couple places I've seen, other than also in the Myakka and that deep hole.
In the Myakka and the deep hole? Yeah, in the river? Oh, up by 41 in Northport. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, that was getting a little confusing for you.
Yeah, I thought I was talking about the 14-foot hole.
No, it's like a 20.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
25-foot hole up there.
Yeah, no, I know which one you're talking about, but when you say the hole in Myakka, there's like several. So I'm just trying to pinpoint it down a little bit. Basically, most of the stuff out there, if you were going to go out right now, Carl, and go out just to have some fun, where would you head?
Is it nice out or is it windy out?
Let's say today.
Oh, it's windy. I'm going to hide. I'm going to like Whiting Creek, Catfish Creek area. I'm going to probably do a lot of trout fishing and redfish. I'm going to have a lot of lures, you know, for our trout. Like those crawdads, paddle tails, gulp shrimp. And then I'm going to have ladyfish, mullet, pinfish with me for the redfish.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. You're talking about being windy. I'm looking at the thing here this afternoon, 10 mile an hour winds, 5 to 7 tonight. Now Sunday here they're talking 6 to 10, but let me get on the marine forecast and see what they got to say, because the land forecast is always different than the marine forecast. Let's see, 10 knots becoming seas 2 feet or less tonight. Now tomorrow it's going to be bouncy tomorrow.
Yeah, up to 13 south southeast.
Yeah, southeast wind, that's going to make the Gulf a little rough because they got a long ways to build up. All that wind's coming way off of the Gulf like that. It's going to make it in the harbor pretty nice. It'd be a great day to mm-hmm. fish the west wall. Well, yeah. Southeast, yeah,
but at 10 that's not too bad over no. there. That just raises the water level up a little bit higher, which can be
no,
pretty nice.
Southeast isn't going to raise the water level up. I was messing up. I was thinking southwest, because southwest brings the water level up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
But southeast doesn't increase the water level. So
tomorrow's tide is getting up to a foot.
Weak tide tomorrow?
No, it's strong incoming.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's almost a negative 0.5, and it goes all the way up to a 1. So, I mean, you got a very good incoming tide all day.
That'd be a nice time to try. If you don't want to go too far, try the Myakka Cutoff.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a
Rock
great
Creek.
Place, Rock Creek place to explore around there. You leaving us, Jeff?
You have plenty of other people out here at the moment.
Okay.
What about the shrimp orders?
I've already ordered from we're
doing shrimp orders and stuff while we're finishing up the show here. That's all part of what has to go on.
Maybe some pinfish.
So
thank you.
Trying to get all the different baits together. Anyway, so what we've been talking about, Robert, where would you go to try and just have some fun fishing?
Honestly, I would probably go over into the Boca Grande Canal system and around the Three Sisters. Just because, I mean, I'm hearing of so many varieties of fish and sizable fish. That's where I would hit, just because of the wind factor. If the wind wasn't around, I'd be fishing those nearshore reefs, because it's just... It's pretty easy right now if you've got guests that are not real familiar with fishing, or you just want some good groceries. It's been phenomenal out there.
Carl, what do you think of that?
He's 100% right. I mean, nearshore reefs are going phenomenal.
So depending upon the wind, if you're going to go out of Gasparilla Pass, it's 2.8 miles out. It's less than 3 miles. So you can figure out if that's where you want to be or not, and whether you want to turn around and come back in, just fish the docks and stuff real close to there. I don't think I'd go out as far as the Palm Island Ferry or anything, but Novak, Trembly, M13, M16, any of the stuff close in is good. Here's going to put you guys on the spot. What is the best, where would you go from a pier or a dock or some place where you could just drive up, get out and fish, where you don't have to have a boat? Now, this could be on a beach, it could be on a pier, it could be, you know, along a canal. If you were going to just drive someplace, but somewhere where you don't have a boat, Mount Lachey?
Boca Grande Pass.
Oh, so you're going to go out on Gasparilla and go to Boca Grande Pass?
Yep.
All right, what are you going to take with you?
I'm going to take shrimp, a lot of shrimp with me. I might also take, you know, some mullet or ladyfish with me too, just because there's been, the sheep's head bite's been phenomenal over there, and the snapper. But then you also, if you want to throw out for all those little sharks that I've been seeing out there, there's a lot of little sharks.
Okay. So, Boca Grande Pass, we got shark fishing out there. Now, you doing the sharks freeline, bobber, bottom?
I would just freeline it out there.
Freeline it out. Okay, so if you're standing on shore and you're going to freeline a bait out, you can't throw it out far enough. A lot of times when you're standing on the shore, just freelining it. So you're going to get a water-fillable casting bubble, and you're going to put that between your hook and your leader. Let it slide up and down your leader, and fill it entirely full of water. Don't make sure there's no air bubbles in it. And that clear plastic bubble, once it's full of water, is very heavy in the air, but allows the bait to drift and float when it hits the water, because that plastic bubble doesn't float, doesn't sink, it becomes nothing. So standing on the beach there, I'm going to take my rod, I'm going to put my leader on, I'm going to put a water fillable casting bubble on it, fill it entirely full of water, and cast it out for the sharks. Now, I would have a piece of thread fin, ladyfish, some type of cut bait on it, and just let it out there drifting.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're going to have to watch that rod, because the current is going to bring it back to shore. So you got to watch that line, and you can leave the one out on the bottom.
See,
and
I'm
not really worried about
with
it.
All of it, because there's going to be 100 other people out there bottom fishing, and you're probably going to get tangled up with some of those people there with the free lining part of it. I mean, as good of an idea as it is from the shore, I think it would be.
But if you can go someplace and you don't have a whole bunch of people down current from you.
Yeah.
That would be a good thing to do. If you got a bunch of people down current from you, you can't freeline and let it drift into all their rods and be tangled up all day.
Yeah.
So you're not disagreeing. What you're saying is make sure there's nobody down current from you that you can get snagged up with.
Yeah, just being courteous of all the other anglers.
Right. You don't have to be so disagreeable.
You're right.
No, I'm going to disagree. I mean, come on.
Well,
I don't get this. We can be reasonable and happy people. We can just say, watch out for the people down below you.
There you go. Okay.
Is he
took care of that.
Is he just... All right. So now here, you're on the spot. Carl took that spot. What's your call from shore?
As crappy of a report as I've given, I'm going to Stump Pass.
All right.
One, most people don't want to walk that far down to the end because it's 1 mile walk. You know, so... And it's a little more secluded. You've got a lot of boat traffic because a lot of people like to park along the sandbar there on the just on the inside of the pass. But it's just a little bit more peaceful for me.
Gotcha.
I love talking to people all day long in here, but when I get out there, it's kind of nice for me to have my moment.
Yeah, I don't have a radio on my boat. I don't have any of that.
Yeah.
yeah, people, they go out and they want to hear the radio and they want to do this and all that. And I'm like, no, I just would like to sit here for a while.
I gladly chat with people and enjoy it when I'm out there, but if I can do it less frequently, it's better for me.
No, I like going out there, and I like going on the ski alley side. I do pretty good on the ski alley side. Now, were you talking about going out to the new jetties or right in the pass itself, or where were you thinking?
Lately, we've been doing both. We've been walking out to the end, fishing for a little bit, and then on our way back in, hitting the little walkthroughs off the trail that goes through the center of the island, and fishing on ski alley itself. So, mixing it up.
But you're actually able to go through all those secluded spots and get out in a reasonable amount of time?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She let you?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah.
You know, kids are.
It's keeping her focused on picking up the shark's teeth and the shells that she's finding along the walk.
Yeah, that was what I was talking about.
Do
okay.
You want to fish?
Yeah, that was it. Okay. And I know there is. He's a teenager again.
Ketchup.
Yeah, ketchup. I got mustard here and ketchup. All right. So you're talking about going to Stump Pass, Carl's at Boca Grande Pass. Is there any of the piers that you guys, what about Coral Creek? Is there anything on the Coral Creek pier? Hang on just a bit. All right, is there anything you can think of, any of the piers around anywhere that you might want to go to?
Placita Pier
there's gonna be my choice.
There's a lot of people
there. It's going to be a lot of people, but it's been so good this whole week with a lot of good positive reports and nobody really...
All right.
Saying
now,
anything
the
negative.
Next time when you guys are doing the same thing, Robert, I want you to take the major note. Carl, I want you on the minor third so that you can harmonize better with this. You know, I mean,
nice.
Right in there, we got the Placita trestle. What are we taking for bait? What are we doing?
I'm taking frozen shrimp with me.
Okay, frozen shrimp. Carl?
I'll do live shrimp.
Live shrimp?
Yep.
So both of you on shrimp, one's frozen.
I'll also take a few lures with me.
I might take sand fleas with me because you are close enough to the beach where those fish might be still focused on a sand flea feed.
Okay.
But I'm targeting the sheep's head, you know, so I'm going to kind of stick to my guns with it. I might throw a soft plastic as a byproduct, but...
So when I'm sheephead fishing down there, I tie a double rig on. I put a heavy sinker at the bottom. I come up about a foot, 18 inches, and I put a leader out, put a hook there, and I come on another foot, 18 inches, put another hook out, and then I tie my line to the top and drop it down as close to the piling as I can.
Right.
And I'm going to put peeled shrimp meat on it, or sand flea, or fiddler crab, or whatever you can find, and target the sheep head right there next to the pilings.
Yep, that's what I would be doing.
Okay, now...
Except for I'd only be doing a single hook, because I have a hard time keeping up with two hooks getting robbed.
All right, single hook, gotcha. Now, Carl, you're talking about taking lures out there. What kind of lures, and what do you think you're going to go for?
I just bring the lures just because if a sheep's head bite and a snapper bite's not doing very well, I'd walk to the base of the pier with, like, a zoom, about a 6-inch zoom split tail or some paddle tails, and I'd blind cast them for, you know, some snook. At the, you know, the base of the pier where that grass flat is.
Okay. Well, a lot of different things you can do, a lot of different ways to go. I'd say shrimp right now is still one of your top baits. The water's still pretty cold. I don't know what the temperatures are out there. I might be able to get a little quick hit on that. Fishandfranks.com, weather and tides. Come on. All right. And go down here to Gulf water temps. And I'm going to look down until I find, and I'm trying to find it here while I'm doing it. St. Pete is 67.3 in St. Pete. Naples, 68.9. It's supposed to be 64. Naples is supposed to be 66. Key West is at 76.8, supposed to be 70. So the Gulf's warmed up a lot.
Yeah. It's come up 4 to 6 degrees in this past week.
This is prime king mackerel time. This is when the king mackerel should, any day, any minute, they should be just popping up out there. So we've got, from literally, I'm really surprised St. Pete at 67.
Yeah, that is surprising.
So, and Pensacola's at 58.1.
Wow.
So, pretty good variant there. Yeah. That's real good to hear. So, anyway, the Gulf of Mexico is going to start really lighting up as it everything just loves that 70 degree water temperature. 70 to 75 is perfect temperatures for humans, fish, everything else. So that means the harbor's hitting the deeper waters of the harbor in the next couple weeks, should be hitting closer to that 70 degree mark, getting up out of the 60s. So, but it's going to take a couple weeks for that to actually come true. Anything else we need to go over, guys?
Well, not that I can think of other than just take advantage of this nice weather while you can, because we don't get it very often this time of year.
All right. Well, Fish and Franks, March 24th is the tent sale. We've got a lot of vendors for the tent sale this year. I mean, there is just too many to even list. Go on fishandfranks.com, check it out. There's a tent sale page. We got everybody listed, and you can see a little bit about what they're doing. But a lot of newbies, first-timers at the tent sale this year, and 9 out of 10 of everybody was here last year, and I think people really liked the show last year. It was a big show last year.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little bit bigger. We got Penn coming, of course, and all the guys from there, so just going to be a lot of fun. Anyway, this is Fish and Frank in the chair here, Robert in the chair across from me, and Captain Carl in the guest spot. So we will catch you on the next Radio Fishing Boys and Girls, or Fishing Zone, or whatever this happens to be. I'm not really sure what the heck it is, but anyway, this is what it is. This is what it was.
It's a perfect day for fishing, drinking beer, and